All right, we're in. We're actually back at the Advanta campus, meeting with the CRM team this time. I've been doing a few sessions with the AX team, but this time we're doing a session. It's actually a few weeks before PDC, and we know that at PDC we'll be saying a few things about CRM5.
Yep.
And so I want to take the opportunity to talk to the CRM5 team and give them a chance to tell the story.
A small portion of the CRM5.
A small portion of the story. Small
very,
portion
very
of the CRM5
small
team,
portions,
yeah. Yeah, so you got a third. You got a third.
That's right.
Exactly.
So why don't we start with some introductions? Why don't we start over on this side here?
Sure. My name is Humberto, and I work in the platform team on the CRM product team.
Excellent.
So I'm Andy Bybee. I'm a program manager on the platform team.
Okay.
I'm Alan. I'm Andy's teammate Humberto, working on platform and programmability.
Awesome. So what is this CRM5 thing? I mean, we just shipped CRM4 a couple months ago, right?
It doesn't seem like that long ago, does it? CRM5 is just an internal code name that we have. I don't think we've really even talked about sort of external code names for them necessarily. I think we had a statement of direction that we released out to the public, I don't know, a few months back, where we just talked about it as CRMVNext.
Right.
So you'll hear sort of both. You'll hear CRM5, you'll hear CRMVNext. It's basically our next release of the product, and something that we've been working on now for a little while, but we've been working on it in conjunction with some other things, some of our online releases. We just put out our R2 release for CRM Online, so the team's been pretty busy.
Right. So the R2 stuff obviously will get folded into CRM5 at some point.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So it's we're still, you know, very committed to sort of power of choice. We talk about it with the public and the field, and so it's really about having a consistent code base that we can actually apply for Microsoft to run in its data centers, for customers to run in theirs, for partners to run in theirs. So we're certainly seeing a lot of pickup on those fronts.
Yeah, and certainly from an ISV perspective, I get a lot of feedback from ISVs saying that that works.
Yeah.
So it's helping them to sell the product. So what did we learn from CRM4, and what are some of the things that we're going to fix? Or improve, or both.
Well, I guess maybe the couple of things I'll start out, and maybe you guys want to jump
sure.
in here as well. You know, the big things that we've heard about, CRM4 was really an interesting release for us because a lot of it was about trying to enable our efforts with online. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to sort of launch an online service.
Moving that to the cloud, actually.
Yeah, so pretty much taking the product, multi-tenant was a big thing. For us, you know, we added things like support for 64-bit, you know, servers, and so it was a lot of infrastructure, a lot of plumbing.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, we are also really starting to see sort of the first evidences of CRM as a platform really starting to take hold. It really sort of, we started getting some feedback about that in the 3.0 mm-hmm. product. And with 4.0, we've really seen a lot. We've added some core relationship things like native many-to-many.
Many-to-many.
We
improved the scaling behaviors, bunch of fixes there.
Yep. So all good stuff there. And so part of what we have seen then is that people are really starting to, I think, latch on to the idea that they can build stuff cheaper and faster, where they're in these sort of business application patterns, right? So you're talking about people and process and, you know, having to sort of work with a large amount of data.
Right.
And so they see a lot of benefits from trying to build those things out inside of CRM.
So clearly CRM does a great job of CRM.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're talking about the stuff that we use to build those CRM, those three primary CRM modules. There's this platform underneath.
Yep.
Right. And those patterns, those building blocks, if we use those words, mm-hmm. Can be used to build any sort of application.
Yeah.
They don't have to have CRM
right.
in them.
Actually, we have seen... Actually, a couple of partners have released books about CRM as a rapid application development platform. I think David Jack actually has a book about
David
that.
Yack, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
has a book about CRM. We actually have white papers from partners like Ascentium talking about CRM as the platform, how you can quickly and easily build business applications
mm-hmm.
on top of CRM.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
mm-hmm. So
in terms of what we're doing then, to maybe come back to your question, we've certainly heard that feedback from partners. And so part of what we're trying to understand is you know, how do we really start to help them move forward, where it's not about sort of building any random application necessarily. We still have .NET and ASP and all those sort of great tools for that stuff.
Sure.
But we do want to say if you're building these types of business application patterns, you know, how do we help move you forward with that? So we look at things like, you know, how we help you with the power of choice in writing code. So one of the things we'll be talking about is how we help you run third-party code in our Microsoft-hosted data centers.
Interesting.
Or just hosted data centers in general. So that would apply for partners as well, and even for customers. Microsoft, for example, is running a pretty big multi-tenant instance, and so to the extent that they have their own internal customers that want to be able to run code, you know, we want to be able to tackle that. We also talk about some of the problems that partners will run into.
Right.
Just from a general perspective of if I'm building out a solution, that solution is going to have its own life cycle. And so how do we help support that life cycle in a more sort of robust way?
Right. But part of the strong feedback that we got from partners who are actually building applications for CRM was things like, for example, protect my intellectual property rights, right? I have this solution and I want to give that to my customers, but now suddenly they can just click a button, export the definition of my solution in version 4, and they can replicate that everywhere. And partners are concerned about that, one, because of property rights. I mean, that's their intellectual property. And second, because that makes it really difficult to actually keep evolving their application, releasing new versions, right? Now, whenever they have to release a new version, they have to worry about all the things that the customer modifying their solution and figure out those changes and inject the changes to update it to a new version, right? Mm. And that's part of the things that we're addressing with CRM5. One of the things that we're going to be talking about in PDC, it's what we call solutions. So we are introducing the notion of solution as a first-class container into the platform. So now, instead of actually starting just to create random objects and exporting and importing them between systems, you actually start by creating a solution. And in that container, you can apply operations to that container. So you can do things like install, uninstall, but at the solution level itself. So not at the component level, but at the solution level.
So kind of like a Microsoft installer, an MSI.
Think about it as add remove programs in Windows. It's something similar in CRM. But the great thing that we're doing in CRM5 is that we're actually making all those changes at the platform level. So the platform underneath actually understands that you are building a solution with all those implications.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Great.
So very cool stuff.
Yeah.
So, and again, I mean, those are sort of some big things that we've heard just on the how do I use it as a platform side. Some of the other pieces that we've heard feedback on were just around some of the core sort of application model. So you think about sort of what kinds of pages and sort of information density can I get out of the application? How do I get this in a format that really people will find productive? So there's a bunch of work that we're going to be doing and that we are doing around
the page model
and navigation and things like that, just to try and sort of make it even more easy to use and sort of more effective in terms of trying to consume all those different types of data. So there's a bunch of stuff happening, and again, we're sort of biased from the platform perspective, so we're a little more focused on that.
We all work
in
the platform, too, so
one of the other areas that we're spending a lot of time on is just sort of value out of the box, and we're still working in quite a bit of that, so I'm not going to go into a lot of that kind of detail. That's not even necessarily what we're talking about at PDC that much, but there's certainly a lot more that we're looking at in terms of value out of the box in the product.
So we've talked about the platform and solutions.
Yep.
The experience is another piece that I think we probably can spend some time talking about.
Yeah. So the experience stuff I think is interesting because, you know, when we hear people talk about sort of what kinds of experiences they want to put together, even now, you know, we're seeing a lot of people sort of get excited about things like Silverlight and get excited about, you know,
WPF.
Some of the WPF and new stuff coming with ASP and. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's out there, and so I think part of what we want to do is make it even sort of easier, more compelling to try and build those types of composite applications today.
Uh-huh.
In fact, you know, Umberto's going to be showing some cool stuff. I'll be showing some cool stuff in our sessions at PDC that are about trying to show that, hey, listen, you know, part of the story is what you can do in the application directly, and that's all fine and good.
Uh-huh.
But part of the story is also about how this starts to become a part of some of these larger solutions that people want to put together. And I think that's part of what we're excited about with PDC and some of the web services and the sort of cloud services story that's being told there. And in fact, is one of the, you know, sort of big investment areas for us in CRM5 is as a technology platform, as a set of capabilities, how this stuff starts to come together with cloud services, we think is going to be very exciting for people.
So Let's talk about cloud services.
Let's talk about cloud services. That's what we're talking about for the rest of PDC.
Yeah, so. And probably for a long time after that, too.
80% of what PDC is going to be about, yeah. I think, right? Cloud services.
So cloud services is interesting. And I think there's a couple of different vectors that the conversation usually goes. And so it's been really interesting to see sort of how the industry tends to sort of bucket into one thing. But I think one of the areas is, hey, can you actually sort of get your stuff on demand? And there's certainly a lot of stuff we're doing to try and make it easy for us to run your code and to sort of make that very fast and efficient. Mm-hmm. One of the areas that we see a lot, though, in the solution space is about sort of what I would think of as more sort of service integration. And so this idea that you can now start to really start to deliver on the value and sort of the dream of web services and sort of the composite apps, I think is now finally starting to get unlocked with the idea of common identity, common access control, the ability to have things like service bus and sort of pull all these things together in a mm-hmm. more sort of concrete way. So there's a lot of stuff happening on that side. So when we start seeing the scenarios come together, we get pretty excited about saying things like, hey, listen, we have some partners, for example, like ExactTarget, who does online marketing. So they'll help mm-hmm. you with email campaigns and things like that. Mm-hmm. But one of a very common problem that we see there is I want to be able to know when the customer that signed up for ExactTarget services has submitted, a new marketing campaign. And then when ExactTarget gets some data, they want to be able to push data back to that customer and say, well, here's all of the leads that we've gotten, here are the click-throughs, things mm-hmm. like
basically
that.
Basically service-to-service communication.
Basically service-to-service communication. And again, we've seen a lot of that happening at the client side, right? Compositing and iframes and things like that. Mm-hmm. So the story is how do you start to do that more at the service interaction without necessarily the user's browser having to help sort of proxy the whole entire conversation.
Right.
And I think that's where a lot of the cloud services stuff will come in the CRM places, is that now you're starting to, you know, really sort of aggregate at the back end and let those service-to-service interactions happen regardless of sort of where those things want to sit. So if it's two internet services talking to each other, that's great. If it's I want to have my data from inside of my premise working with a cloud service and have those working across firewall and things like that, that's great. So we think about it as really helping to unleash sort of a lot of that sort of service-to-service interaction, regardless of where that service is actually running at the end of the day.
So at PDC, we'll be talking about the new project codenamed Red Dog mm-hmm. and how you can use that as a platform for deploying your applications.
Yep.
We talked earlier about the CRM platform. Can you provide some guidance as to when would I use Red Dog to deploy or build my applications out and be able to scale and so on? And when would I use the CRM platform or the underlying platform under Dynamic CRM to build some sort of general purpose business application?
Business application.
Right.
I've typically been giving people sort of the 80-20 rule, which is, if you're building out a business application that's about people and process and objectives and sort of wanting to link all those things together, mm-hmm. you're going to be able to get a lot of your application framework out of the box mm-hmm. with what CRM is bringing to the table. Mm-hmm. There's still going to end up being, because you're building a custom solution, some 10 to 20% of the experience mm-hmm. that you're going to want to really start to tailor. And mm-hmm. your question as a partner that you're going to have to answer is where do I run that code? Mm-hmm. And we think Red Dog is a great place for you to be able to do that. Now, you could choose to, spin up your own data center and sort of, or go and pay another partner to run that stuff for you. But we think Red Dog is going to be a great story for you to very quickly put those pages together mm-hmm. and just integrate them in with the CRM experience, mm-hmm. right? And it's our job to try and make that as sort of seamless as we can. Mm-hmm. But we think at the end of the day, it's really going to be sort of an easier, sort of more valuable way for you as a partner to run those.
Actually, something that we're going to be showing at, part of the demos that we're going to be showing at PDC actually shows precisely that 80-20 rule. 80% of the one of the demos that we're going to show at PDC actually runs completely on CRM. All the core schema is there, all the core forms are there, all the user interface is there. But 20%, it's going to be a custom portal that's actually running in Red Dog. And you're going to be able to see at PDC that they can actually interact pretty seamlessly. And it just happens that you're hosting your custom portal in Red Dog, and on the other side you have CRM, and they are talking to each other, so it's pretty integrated.
So let me see if I got it. So you CRM itself does not run in Red Dog.
Correct.
No. Okay.
No.
So if I'm building an application that is customer facing,
yep.
like some sort of self-service application.
Right.
Customer portal was
customer
one that you,
portal.
Or yeah. if I have my branded or company website where I'm gathering leads, those would be probably good candidates for RedDoc.
Yeah, that would be premier candidates for RedDoc.
Right. And if I was doing an application that was maybe behind the firewall, where I don't need the scale and agility that I get from RedDoc.
You can host that yourself. I mean, your own IIS server, for example, right?
Right, or build that on CRM.
Or build that on CRM.
Okay.
Potentially, yeah.
So we also talked about the internet service bus.
Yep.
Andy, you mentioned that a few minutes ago. Codename Zurich. I guess we'll be rolling up branding at PDC.
Yep.
I don't know what it is.
We're not going to cover
it. Let's not talk about it. But it's going to be called something else. But
that's
for
right.
now, it's codenamed Zurich.
That's right. So
how does that fit in with CRM?
Yeah, so the maybe a couple of pieces to think about there. You know, one of the – sorry, I got to drop. This is what I get for being a PM.
Uh-uh.
You know, one of the things we talk about is – bad pen. One of the things we talk about is, you know, if you've got a CRM system here and you've got some other system here.
You can stand up if you need to.
Yeah. That's okay. We can just right. over here. I've got some other system here, right? So I'll just call this ISV. Now, part of the challenge is that most of the time these interactions get done in a one-off way, right? So either this system knows explicitly about this system and only this system, but you know, generally, this is done where this system may introduce things like, you know, security. They may introduce sort of their own model for some type of web service that they've got to be able to expose, et cetera, right?
Uh-huh.
And there's a very explicit model there. Now, these guys may have their own thing going on. And again, if you want these two to actually have a two-way conversation, you've got to get people to change code on both sides to actually set that stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you imagine that instead of this being an ISV, that this was, you know, some company that actually wanted to integrate some of their internal systems with the cloud service system,
mm-hmm.
they have all these same sort of problems, right, with security and the web service. But then they also have this interesting problem where some of those corporate systems might actually be behind a firewall, right? And so they're more focused and then on trying to reach out rather than people trying to reach in. And if they wanted somebody to reach out, then now they have to start thinking about, do I put something in a demilitarized zone that has internet access?
Or do I put special rules in my firewall?
Exactly.
Do I open more holes? Do I put a router? Do I put a switch in the middle that actually practices all this communication? All sorts of funky stuff.
So you run into all sorts of funky stuff, to use a Bertus term there. So then, in addition to that, there are some details and nuances about things like security, for example, which is, you know, what am I using for identity? Right? What am I using for access control, right? For actually handling authorization of who can get what data.
Uh-huh.
Right? And so part of when we look at service bus, part of what we get excited about and part of what we, you know, have been working with those guys on has been, listen, you know, this is a very common scenario when people are trying to pull in, you know, data inside of CRM with data from other systems, whether
mm-hmm.
it's things like, you know, credit checks, business profiling, marketing services, what have you, right?
Uh-huh.
Many, many, many. So what's interesting is that if you start thinking about saying, well, if there was a model for me to be able to say that I had shared identity and that I had some way of being able to, as part of the shared identity, also be able to then have a way of communicating using this notion of a service bus, right? Much like I would with, say, a BizTalk connector today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Publish, subscribe. And then I can now start to control who has access to those endpoints. Now I'm starting to actually get a very sort of interesting integrated model between all these different pieces, where now CRM can start to raise events, and this ISV can actually be listening and subscribing to the events using WCF channels,
mm-hmm.
right? So WCF manages all the session lifetime and everything there. And now they're able to actually have a real two-way conversation, right? Now, similarly, if we wanted to actually raise events, we could go ahead, this guy could actually push here and have his own custom code running in CRM that was actually listening to that same endpoint and getting an event down there. And so now you're able to get two-way communication of messages through an established set of endpoints with a common set of identity without having to now worry about coding custom logins, worrying about custom access control, are they symmetric? Do I know sort of everybody that is on this side, or can I just trust that these guys have all proved their identity to somebody else?
Uh-huh.
This is where the notion of common identity services with cloud services comes in. This is where the notion of access control and being able to secure who gets access to those endpoints comes in. And this really starts to unleash a lot of partner value now in terms of being able to plug in, not just for CRM in the cloud, but even for CRM on-premise and even for partner hosted. So it really sort of opens up sort of who you could access and sort of what where you could start to integrate your solutions in as a partner.
So let me see if I got this. So it's an internet service bus
yep.
running in the cloud, run by Microsoft.
Yep.
You can publish and someone could subscribe to those events
messages,
or queues
yep.
Or whatever you call them.
Yep.
You could also orchestrate across various systems.
Yep, so they have some base workflow capabilities and some actions that you can start to composite on that side. And then we also have some workflow capabilities built on the same workflow foundation runtime.
And now we have also Cullen server, right, which is one of the co-investments for CRM5.
So we should talk about that, but let's come back to that. So while we're talking about the Zurich stuff, so we have identity, we have this pub-sub model of
yep.
sharing information,
yep.
We have workflow,
control.
You have access control,
yep.
all of that stuff from behind the firewall without having to poke a hole in the firewall or put stuff into DMZ.
Yep. So they have what's called, they have a relay server basically. So they're able to do relay on the messaging where they're doing the connection and the postbacks. And WCF is managing all of that.
And you don't have to worry about security. It all just works.
It just yep. works. It's all based on standards. It's all based on things like WCF. The access control service is actually built using CERMET. So everything is standard based. WS is standards. It's going to work.
That's pretty sweet. Now, the diagram you've drawn, Andy, has the word CRM in them.
Yep.
And of course, CRM is a specific set of finished services that are built on this platform.
Yep.
But as an ISV, if I'm building on the CRM platform,
yep.
I have full access to all this functionality. So if I'm building a blah type application
yep,
built
right.
on the platform that has nothing to do with sales, service, or marketing.
This could be, our sort of prototypical XRM.
Right.
Right? And
right.
this could also just be saying, listen, I've got, a rich SQL store. I've got rich SQL. I've got workflow. I've got security. I've got an application model. All that stuff
right.
sort of out of the box.
Right.
That fits for that part of my application. That's effectively what you're getting when we talk about sort of what's in this bucket of stuff.
So I know it's kind of early, but so this stuff is going to be built right into CRM. So, I know you can't show it to show, well, maybe you can. I don't know.
Well,
I twist your arm.
We will be doing some demos to try and show people sort of where it's going from that perspective as part of our session.
I guess if the question is, are we thinking about investing heavily on integrating out of the box with all these services in the CRM timeframe? I think the answer will be yes.
Okay. So the other thing, Andy, is that you showed CRM on-premises,
yep.
you have CRM in the cloud,
yep.
in a partner-hosted facility, you have
yep.
CRM online. And I know one of the things that CRM online didn't provide was the ability to do some custom coding.
Yep.
And so I know that's what Alan has been sitting patiently waiting
yep.
to talk about. Can you want to talk about that?
Sure. I joined the team after CRM4, one of the pain points that we discussed was basically to fill the gap between online and offline environment, on-premise and online environment. One of the things was that on-premise, an ISP or any CRM developer can write their own components that are consumed by CRM platform and used for other applications.
Mm-hmm.
Example was plugin. So when we started this whole feature set or program charter, in CRM 5, we started talking about code on server. Once we start talking about code on server, we start breaking down those things. One of the things that you guys mentioned was Red Dog and how do we do custom web apps in the cloud. And basically to go back to map our code on server scenario that any ISV can use our CRM online environment or any hosted environment as on-premise environment.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things was the three components, the four components we were talking about, I used to call them CRM logic components. They are custom web pages, workflows, custom workflows, plugins. Those are three. And then when we start talking, breaking down more of plugins, then we start thinking about how this is going to mapping our security in CRM Online environment, how we're going to go, how it's going to map to our scalability in CRM Online environment. Then we start breaking those things, and that's how we got exposed to Zurich as part of the things that we were going to do. So for M1, what we did was we said, okay, let's start working only with CRM plugins to allow the custom, to allow ISVs to deploy their plugins into CRM. And that was a long process to come up with the right solution. Mm-hmm. When we start thinking about it, the first thing came to mind was, let's have the right the ISVs to write code online and debug it and trace it. Well, it's time-consuming, the chatty conversation is going to go back and call web service, the compilation is going to happen somewhere else. Then we start thinking about, okay, how about we allow the users, ISVs, to deploy their assemblies? And then we start thinking about what we can do to help them to do that and what are the limitations are. Performance, monitoring, how are we going to monitor those? What they can do and what they can't do in this environment to make sure that our environment and any hosted environment can be secure and not be impacted by adversaries, by mistakes, things like that. One of the things we started, and as we discussed in SDR, was the plugin in CRM Online. Allow the assemblies to be downloaded, registered in CRM Online. As part of that, we start thinking about, okay, if we're sending out the assembly to the CRM Online, and there's no code in there, there's no way to debug it. So we start thinking about how we can enable tracing. So if I'm an ISV and I deploy my code in a hosted environment or CRM Online environment, how can I see if something goes wrong in my code? Then we start thinking about how we can do that inside of our platform. And that one of the things we also did was allow tracing in our plugins.
So while you're hosting code in CRM Online, you could be in Visual Studio?
We're going to show you. We're going to go through the demo later today with Niran. That basically you need you implement this service provider, traceable service provider, and then it allows you to write trace code in your plugin. And during the execution, if something's wrong, you can see it right there. It comes up with the exception. You can see the exception.
So if I'm in any environment, I might be CRM is multi-tenant.
Yes.
And so I could have many different servers. If it's on-premise, I may have many different departments on the same server. CRM Online, I have many different customers all sharing the same deployment groups.
Yeah.
CRM partner hosted, possibly even.
Yes.
Yep.
You may have different servers. So how do you manage the security? How do I keep an ISV from installing and breaking my system, bringing the system down?
That's maybe a good teaser for the other video.
Okay.
So we can probably hold that.
So we're going to dive deep into that.
Yeah, we can do that. But actually, that's a good thing you answered that question, because yesterday in our triage, we discussed this, that we just can't look at, okay, my plugins will execute in online or on-premise. The model is the same. As you say, enterprise companies, Microsoft, we have multi-instances of CRM. There are so many organizations internally in Microsoft that use it. Intel is another one. There's so many companies that have more than maybe 200 organizations within their enterprise solution that each company, each organization can purchase a solution from a certain solution provider, and any can fail. That should not impact the other organization. That's how we're going to talk about it in more detail in our session, that how we're going to attack that and make a defense.
And it can get even more complicated. It can be that you purchase a solution that it works fine 99% of the time, but because you configured it as slightly different, it's failing in one or two orgs, and you should be able to actually identify that it's failing in those two orgs, and you should be able to debug and figure out why is it failing in those two orgs.
Sure,
it can get really complicated.
So I think what's really interesting, I think, out of what we've seen from CRM is the idea that customers are already building some pretty interesting applications, and so part of our job is to try and make it easier for them to be able to do that. And so there's a lot of stuff we haven't necessarily talked about as it relates to things like how you're incorporating collaboration capabilities and communication capabilities into your solution, and how you're incorporating analytics capabilities into your solution. So there's some there's a bunch of work we're doing there in terms of making it easier for you to pull in things like document libraries to try and sort of bring that, some of that SharePoint richness in with the overall solution, and vice versa, right, to make it easier for CRM information and some of the sort of sales marketing service or other sort of XRM things that you've got in there, making it easier to surface that inside of SharePoint.
So
vice versa with the analytics stuff as well.
So not many people know this. The CRM R&D team and the SharePoint R&D team both report into the same VP.
That's right.
And so you guys are actually pretty close.
Yes, we do.
We're all under what's called the Office Business Platform group. So.
Right. Sometimes even too close, I will say. Yeah.
Well, you better hope they don't see this video. Yeah.
So I would say, you know, maybe just to sort of, you know, sum up the... I heard a lot of feedback, certainly on the platform side, in terms of how we help people move faster and do things less expensively. We think so. There's a bunch of work when we talk about solutions and code on the server that we think is going to help people do that. We think they'll be excited when they see what's happening there. We think that part of that is about making it easier and faster for them to extend their solution and incorporate some of these other elements like collaboration and communication.
Right. Just getting started. I mean, the developer experience from creating a solution from scratch and adding all these components. Just getting that solution to be really, really fast, really, really easy, really, really fast to do, easy to understand, just to get started and put all this together. That's one of the main goals for CM5.
And then we think cloud services are really just the sort of the thread that will really sort of unlock a lot of that value, because now you're going to be able to take and start extending stuff from outside of your corporate sort of firewall and bring it in sort of the same rich kind of experience. Whether you want to start from that, from sort of the client experience out, so if you're talking about Silverlight or WPF and trying to bring things in that way, or whether you're talking about sort of doing it service to service and starting to sort of get richer interactions and, you know, business logic and things like that to be, you know, part of that overall story. So it's a pretty rich story. There's certainly a lot to take in, as evidenced by the number of sessions that we have at PDC around cloud services.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a pretty transformational shift for people. So, you know, I think we've got a role to play in that. We're certainly excited to share it with folks and looking forward to feedback from people as we get down and meet everybody in LA.
All right. Well, awesome. So I think the next step then is to grab each one of you guys and pull you off and let's do a deep dive, maybe a video on each one of these sessions that we'll be talking about at PDC.
Sounds good.
Cool. Thanks a bunch, guys.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks.